survey said.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, welcome. Welcome back to the show.
It's like we're Little John and we're grunge bands.
Yeah, more like we're Little Mike and Little Ryan is what it sounded like. Good morning, everybody. This is episode 497 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Heck yeah. I was telling you right before the show started, like, I'm tired. I don't want to be here. I don't feel good. Now I'm pumped up and ready to go. My eyes have not been this wide open all day.
See, this is what happens when you watch the Two Dumb Yinzers.
This is what happens. You know, I've been up for 12 hours at this point. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling it, boys.
You know what I finally did? About 8 years ago, I got the network for PlayStation to play online.
Yeah.
Good morning, Ron, on the board.
What's up, and, Ron?
And every year that it comes up for renewal, I tend to miss it.
Yeah.
So I've been paying like $70 every year out of nowhere at the end of January into February.
Oh, Jesus.
I finally caught it this year. 8 years.
Oh, man.
Now, you know me. I don't play games online. I haven't played it in a while.
Yeah.
I finally got that son of a bitch. I caught the email this time. I made sure I got in.
Uh-huh.
And then they make it impossible to disconnect. Undo your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what one of the years, that's when I started pissing around with, and I couldn't get into where I needed to get into. And then I needed my password. It wasn't right. And then when I redid it, it was the same password that it already was, but they wouldn't let me use it. I got them this year, Mike, them son of a bitches. I'm out. 2024. That's, here I am.
You know what? I am really happy for you. Because Mike got like,
what a racket they're running.
Yeah. Cause I forgot. I have a couple subscriptions that I, you know, would used to use for the show. And I was like, oh yeah, I gotta cancel that. And then it comes up for the month. Like, oh, I guess we're using this for another month.
Yeah.
And then it keeps coming up. And then finally, like you, I was able to get to, you know, pull the trigger and actually cancel it before the new year, before the new month. It is a great feeling.
And it's always when you know you're down to your last $80. You're like, oh, okay, $80. I got $80 to last me till payday. And then that comes out, and then you have like $9, and you know it's insane. They don't go out of their way to remind you. They send you one sneaky email. Sometimes it lands in spam.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out finally. Eight years it took me to get out of that.
You know, better late than never.
No wonder these companies are so damn rich.
Yeah, that's like, you know, wouldn't you sign
up for a challenge?
Like,
it's a challenge to break away.
Yeah, you sign up for like a Planet Fitness, $10 a month. You quit going. People are like, it's only $10 a month. I'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's like $120 a year.
And they know this.
They know it too.
They know people don't stick with that. Mm-mm. You know, it's a temporary emotion.
Yeah.
I have to get healthy. I want to do it right now. But the problem is keeping that mindset for 365 days a year. That's the problem.
Yeah. Like, but once you can do it, because you know me, for a while there, I was every day, 5-6 days a week in the gym, eating healthy every single day. You just have to do it. And then once you do it, you can do it. But you know, you slip up a little bit early and screw it. It's only $10 a month. I'll be fine.
And you know, people don't have time.
They're not going to tell you to cancel your shit. They don't care. They got your money. You're hooked, man. It's kind of like the streaming services. You buy them for one thing and then you forget about it. And then every month there's a little $4 to $5 fee that comes out. It's small enough to, you don't notice.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of thing. And that's, you know, where this and the gaming subscriptions get you.
This is Super Bowl week, everybody. This is the rematch of Super Bowl 54,
mm-hmm.
Super Bowl 58. The 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to go at it Sunday in Las Vegas to see who's going to be the Super Bowl champions. We're going to do some Super Bowl festivities today.
Okay.
I mean, this is Super Bowl week. Everybody's kind of, doing Super Bowl related things.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to lean that direction. Let's go through some stuff here first. And then after we do, I got some stuff set up for us.
Yeah.
Today's going to be it's going to be Super Bowl festivity day.
Let's go.
First of all, anybody see this? Now, this is not a bit, listen, It's not been confirmed. However, it's not been not confirmed either. NFL player in Las Vegas was attacked by a coyote. NFL player who was there to play in the Super Bowl was attacked by a coyote either yesterday or the day before. When asked, the Las Vegas police said that they're unaware of a case where an NFL player got attacked by a coyote. But nonetheless, it's out there. Maybe true. Maybe they're just, you know, keeping it under wraps for whatever reason. It's a high profile kind of thing. Who knows? But yesterday, apparently, or the day before, but it was reported yesterday that an NFL player in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl was attacked by a coyote. Guys.
I saw that.
That's some Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah. And like the people that are all about the memes were on it. They're actually showing, you know, people in cars videotaping coyotes, and they would pan, and they'd like horrible edits of putting like whoever sat the Super Bowl in there, like Kadarius Toney dropping a coyote, Mahomes you know, running away from a coyote, Bosa tackling a coyote. So yeah, I want to know who it was too. Was it a starter? Was it a special teams guy? Was it just a guy in the practice squad? I want to know.
And you know, and the thing about coyotes, if you've never seen a coyote, and I've never seen one in real life, I, of course, have seen these same coyotes that Jin's guys seen when we were kids growing up on cartoons. And but when you do start to see coyotes, they're I don't know, are they intimidating, or do they would you run, Mike, if you seen a coyote? Or would
I would, yeah, because those things, they're evil little bastards. I don't like them. They look like a dog, but like a wild dog, but you can tell they're a coyote. They don't look like a wolf
because they got crazy look like eyes. A dog.
Like I've done camping, and you can hear them running through your camp at night, and you're like, oh fuck, I don't want them coming to like near my tent or anything. I don't mess with coyotes.
You see if a coyote got a hold of Derpy.
My money's on Derpy. I think Derpy would channel some weird inner strength and just jack a coyote up.
I'd pay money to see it. I mean, I don't want you to get hurt, Derby. I don't want you to get eaten by the coyote, but nonetheless, it'd be funny.
Come on, you know what? I think we have to do a special live stream where Derby has to fight a coyote.
Well, you know, the thing it would be, Mike, remember the and he still stopped by the board, but Steeler Freak, he was always inviting us out to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go and see and have Derby go one-on-one with the coyote. That could be a good bit for this show.
I'm all for it. You know what? We can do it, you know, and we'll have a big meetup out there, and the main attraction will be Derby versus the coyote.
I could see it.
Bring it on. Derby!
Do you think you can take the coyote, Derby?
To court.
you're going to sue the coyote. Yeah, it's very American of you.
Good morning to Brian on the board. He says when he was 18, he almost got a Wile E. Coyote tattoo. See, that's what I think of when I think of a coyote.
Yeah.
Wile E. Coyote with his roller skates on with the little rockets built in the back.
Yeah.
It literally makes him flip upside down and go, you know, right into the ground. But, a couple other things, Mike. Eric Bieniemy. I was looking at yesterday's thumbnail for the show. Eric Bieniemy, to me, looks like a compact, like if you would take Shaquille O'Neal and compact him into a little five and a half foot man.
Yeah.
That's what Eric Bieniemy. Go look at that picture. If you haven't had a chance, go look at yesterday's thumbnail for the show. I don't know how many times I just kind of glanced at it through the day, and I thought, wow, that looks a lot like Shaquille O'Neal just crunched down. Like if he got crunched down like an accordion, like Wile E. Coyote would on after chasing a Roadrunner. That's what he looks like.
And that was like the most flattering photo I could find of Eric Bieniemy.
He's not a real flattering looking guy.
No, and me not being flattering as well, I did my best to try to make my man look good, because I know how it is to not be very photogenic. And that's the best I can do.
I would have gotten photos taken of myself yesterday when you had your priest shirt on.
I made
memes and everything else.
You know, I got the polo on today, so yeah, I don't look like a priest. Now I look like
a pawn star. I'm joking.
No, I need some gold chains or something for that. Now I feel like a Presbyterian type minister. You know, because they're the laid back version of Christianity.
See, I'm not feeling that today. The whole priest thing is what did it.
Yeah. See, now I'm like a laid back guidance counselor.
Yeah. Something in an administrative office at Penn State is what I'm getting at.
Fuck you. That was a good one.
Guys, the NFL Pro Bowl games. Here is a just a simple question, because I, you know, I go on a little bit about these Pro Bowl games and how they're now playing dodgeball and they're playing video games against one another. Let me ask you. If you had a choice, let's say you were in a position to make this call, would you leave it the same? Would you change it back to how it was? Or would you get rid of it entirely? These Pro Bowl games, the Pro Bowl festivities. Mike, would you leave it the same as it is now? Change it back or get rid of it entirely? You got to think, we've had it for 2 years now.
Yeah.
It's in Orlando. They do this little thing where they drag each other around on sleds, mm-hmm. and, which, again, as a football guy, I honestly, at the end of the day, don't mind. I'm okay with having it on my TV. But just overall in general, you know what way I lean. Would you rather leave it the same, change it back to how it was, or just get rid of it entirely?
See, I like it.
See, I'm all for getting rid of all the All-Star games. No one wants to be there. Players don't want to be there. Coaches don't want to be there. It's no, just get rid of it. It serves no purpose.
Remember when you were a kid, it was such an honor to be on the All-Star team. And it was like, you were such the cool guy. Now it's like, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with that.
It's the end of the season. You know, everyone's beat up. Their bodies, they're tired. They don't want to be there anymore. Why make them be there?
It's the Participation Bowl.
Something you said the other day made a lot of sense to me.
I think they ought to do a rookie game.
I've read that. I thought that was a good idea.
7 rounds of 30 players. You know, even if you're not going to get high profile players from top to bottom, you're going to have ample players to put together like a rookie game.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun. And, you know, I mean, you see them in the senior bowls, you see them in their bowl games. But at the end of the day, I mean, wouldn't it be cool to see them in their pro uniforms? Joey Porter Jr. is a Steeler. This guy is a Texan. That guy, I would be very interested in watching that game.
I would too, but I would once again though, like how hard would they be competing too? Some of them, I could see your higher end rookies that have been playing a whole hell of a lot. They might be taking that veteran status of, you know, I really don't want to put my do this, but for like the guys that are borderline starters, special teamers, I think they would go hardcore for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, that you should still have like people should still be voted as all pros, you know, recognize the best of the best. Because by the time it gets there, you see Gardner Minshew made it this year. He only made it because, you know, how many quarterbacks had to back out.
Like Tyler Huntley last year.
Yeah. So it gets diluted to a point for when they play. And then I think, you know, it's those that are voted on by the players and the fans. Those are your true all pros. Then the people who go there, I don't think they should be called all pros. They should be all pro participants. I don't think it should count towards your Hall of Fame awards. Like, look how many all pros they made. Yeah, how, you know, or the Pro Bowls they made. Really, were they voted in or were they just appointed because someone left? So there's just a lot of luster lost to the game anymore because guys don't want to be there anymore.
You know what I find out I do myself as I'm watching these, I'm rooting against the guys of the teams from the teams that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like when David Njoku or when Njoku and Puka Nacua were doing that, the best catch competition.
Yeah.
I just didn't want Njoku to win. I thought he's a Brown. I don't want this guy to win. So that was kind of how I spend my time watching it. I'm kind of rooting against guys for, you know, simple, dumb reasons.
And like these All-Star games before, you know, why they were popular, it's like you never saw a lot of these guys. Like if you're an AFC guy, you never really saw the NFC teams.
Right.
Now, my God, ever since like the early 2000s, you've been able to see every single game. If you wanted to, you're able to see all these players. So it kind of loses that mystique.
I think what would be fun is if obviously you can't really do it with, you know, really effectively now, but you know, when the XFL and the USFL, their little UFL starts expanding and gets growing a little bit and getting a little bigger, I would like to see those all-star games.
Yeah. I think those would be more entertaining.
That would be interesting
because you're getting the best of that league all playing as one instead of trying to watch that league, figure out what's going on because, you know, I mean, it's not put out in front of us like the NFL is. You don't have that luxury of learning these guys like you do when you're an NFL fan. But I would like to watch like almost, you know, an all-star game with the best 44 starters in the XFL, UFL, yeah. I'm sorry. I think that could be a lot of fun down the road. And again, I think it'd be hard at this point with eight teams, but yeah, they could do it, you know?
They can do it. They can find a way to do it. I think that would be the league to...
And they would almost be...
They would want to do it.
They try. They would want to... Yeah, they want to do it to prove themselves to maybe make it to the next level.
Yeah. And you know, I have no problem with guys backing out of, like, the Pro Bowls and stuff. You know, you've played, you know, 18 games in the NFL. That's brutal. Brutal, especially like for the linemen. I think they enjoy not having to block each other anymore. Just the amount of punishment on their bodies. But I think like the lower leagues, like you're saying, those games would be more in line to how the Pro Bowl used to be when we grew up, where it was a little bit more competitive.
Ron, I think that would be kind of cool. Mike, what do you think? Ron says, I think the NFL needs an expansion to teams in Alaska and Hawaii, since we're making teams travel overseas. I think that would be cool. I mean, obviously, it would be a lot more. Everything would be so much more because you know what I mean? Just like any other reason, if you buy milk in Alaska, it's like $19 because to get the milk there, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
I just think in general, it would be very expensive to have a team in those cities. But you know what? That would be cool.
It would be cool. Yeah.
Juneau.
I think Hawaii would work, but I don't think Alaska will work.
Yeah. Just the.
Talking about a cold weather team.
That would be, oh, God, and them not having a dome, that would be the best part right there.
Being daylight for 9 months out of the year, I mean, you could have games at 3 a.m, nobody would care.
Hell yeah. See, now that, I would like to see exhibition games there at least. I think that would be more plausible, would be exhibition games there. But I would like that. I think it would be cool. That would be like a logical progression.
Yeah, it's like Ron says, give them a dome. Alaska could have a dome.
Yeah, they can be the only cold weather team that can have a dome. Minnesota, Minnesota, we need to get a can opener up there and take that thing off. That's why the Vikings never won anything. They're soft.
As far as Honolulu, Hawaii, I did step foot inside of that stadium. One time I was there on vacation quite a few years back, and there was a swap meet in the parking lot. And this is what we're doing at a vacation. We're going to swap meets. Other people have their leg, and they're out on the beach. We were at a swap meet in the parking lot of the Honolulu Bowl. I don't know what the stadium. You know what I'm talking about, the stadium. Yeah. And I had a piss so bad, and the Johns were just on the inside of the stadium. You got to walk in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you got to go into the first level of the stadium, and when you walked in, you look and you could see the green. You know, like you're walking into one of our stadiums, you just see all that green, and then you make a right turn, and the Johns were right there. But you literally walked into the beginning of the stadium. You got to see the field. It was really cool. And being a football guy, that was my highlight. That was my highlight of being in Hawaii. It wasn't no tiki torches or any shit like this.
It was the
just saying that I was there. I was there where they played all these best players ever in the NFL that played there for X amount of years. I got to be in that same place. So I mean, they would have no issues. They have a stadium. They have the infrastructure. They could do this kind of thing. But that would be interesting. Guys, let's move on. I determined my prediction. We're going to do our picks tomorrow, Mike, to see who picks who for the Super Bowl for this weekend.
Yep.
But I've already came to the conclusion. I sat there and I thought the game through in my head. I already have my prediction. Ooh. I think this game is going to be 33-27 overtime.
Ooh.
I think Kansas City.
Okay.
Kansas City's going to win this game 33-27 in overtime. They're going to go to overtime tied 27 all. Kansas City's going to get the ball first and drive down the field and score a touchdown on that drive, maybe with the help of a pass interference, something like this down the field. You know, things that usually happen during the course of a Chiefs game. And I think that's how it's going to play out. That is my prediction, 33-27 overtime, Kansas City. And we'll get into your guys' picks more tomorrow because – we're going to do our picks and our tiebreaker and things like that. But I kind of just wanted to use that as a little lead into where we're going next.
Yeah, I dig that. I think that would be a fun, exciting game.
Absolutely.
It happens like that. Hell yeah.
Ron on the board says double OT. Talking about exciting, huh?
Oh, the script has been leaked. The script has been leaked. Yep.
What?
The guy in Vegas said, hey, you know, we were promised a double overtime game.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
It was been online.
Of course, you know, now that
tongue in cheek, you know, he said it tongue in cheek.
That would be interesting. Could you
I like how everyone's saying double OT. We all knew what we were talking about. Everyone but Ryan, who's usually on top of these things.
Yeah, I had to go do basketball games last night, high school games, so I didn't catch a lot.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. I think a double OT would be certainly interesting in a Super Bowl. Guys, I have a list here. This is 64 ESPN analysts, writers, commentators, columnists, and pundits from ESPN.
Ooh.
And I'm going to give you some numbers. Between these 64 ESPN analysts, writers, commentators, columnists, and pundits, this is what they think is going to happen on Sunday evening. 64 of them. 49 of them out of 64 believe the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. 15 believe San Francisco is going to win this football game. 49 to 15, the Chiefs is who they pick, guys.
That's the score. No, I'm joking.
Most common score picked. Most common score picked between this group of ESPN experts is 27 to 24. And that is by eight different experts. Eight different experts of all those positions and people in the ESPN say it's going to be 27 to 24. And that was the most picked score out of everything, everybody. The next score, 27-21. 27-21. And that was picked by seven experts. Seven experts out of all those positions say that it's going to be 27-21. That is the second highest common picked score. Lowest combined total for this game. 37 by way of scores being picked, being 20-17, some of the pundits and analysts and so forth. So then that's a total of 37 points. And that is the lowest combined total by these experts picking these out is 37 points. Guys, keep that in mind. You're going to be doing picks tomorrow.
37.
On the other end of the spectrum, the highest combined point by this group of people. I like your score, Ron, 32-28. I don't know if you caught, I have something very similar to that. The highest combined score total picked was 64 with somebody choosing. Yeah.
Wow.
With a 34 to 30 combined totaling for 64 points. That's the highest combined total scored picked by these experts.
So that to me, that's way too high. For 64 points combined.
Largest margin of victory of all these picks, 20 points. They have a 34 to 14. Ooh, somebody picks this game. That's the largest margin picked. Two experts. Now, this is out of 64. 52 experts say it will be decided by a touchdown or less. 52 experts say it'll be decided by a touchdown or less.
I think that falls
in my category.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. That's how I'm leaning towards too. I don't really see a blowout happening either way. Cause they both have really good defenses. Like I said all year, Kansas City's defense has been vastly underrated.
If San Fran don't make mistakes, they're very good. They have the Jekyll and Hyde syndrome. I mean, they're either very good or they make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, like my thing, like with the St. Fran's defense, we saw how flat they came out against Detroit. You can't do that against the Chiefs because Mahomes and Andy Reid, they will make you pay. They won't let up. They won't be on the sidelines waving goodbye, you know, in the second quarter like Detroit was.
Yeah.
So I think St. Fran needs to come out, you know, hot and ready to go. But the way they've been complaining this week about anything and everything, I think now I'm starting to talk myself into a blowout. Like the Chiefs are just tired of hearing San Fran whine about everything and they're just going to curb stomp the shit out of them.
I heard there's a lot of people whining about the field.
Oh, they're
isn't that a thing every year?
No, it's San Fran complaining about their practice field because they have to practice at UNLV. And the Chiefs, because they're the home team, the AFC is the home team this year, they get to practice at the Raiders facilities, all the nice facilities, because they're the home team. That's the advantage you have. And like the Chiefs one year, they had to practice at a college facility and they didn't complain. Like San Fran, they're complaining about everything.
In all due respect, I mean, geez, oh man, San Francisco could take a half hour flight home and practice at their own facility
and fly back in. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking part of me wants to say Casey was just going to channel all that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of people are just kind of starting to get tired of San Fran. They are doing a lot of whining. And
yeah. And then the Chiefs are, they're doing everything, you know, they're being, oh, hey, you know, they're a great team. They got good players, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They're doing and saying all the right things.
Like in St. Fran, all they had to do was like keep their mouth shut because people were starting to turn on Kansas City. They were turning them into the new Patriots of being the evil empire, the new Yankees. And now people are starting to turn it on to the Niners, which I'm okay with because F the Niners.
Never was a Niner fan. Nope. I have no problem with anybody that likes him, but ever since the days of Roger Craig and Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana, was never a fan. Everybody just took it was like with say when Seattle, we were talking yesterday, whenever they became good and everybody became a Seahawks fan. That's the way it was here when I was a young person.
Yeah.
Because our Steelers were no good, so nobody liked the Steelers in the 80s. So everybody jumped onto San Francisco. I remember kids wearing 49ers jackets to school and
It was like the in thing to be was the Niners, right? And everyone would make like the catch up there with like, you know, the Immaculate Reception or like Swan's levitating leap. The catch,
was a lucky catch.
Dude caught the ball. I watch that play all the time when they bring it up. And it's like, how is that one of the great plays in NFL history? How is that put into NFL lore? To me, there's so many. It's like an ordinary catch. I don't get it.
It was a great catch in a great situation, but it was not one of these elite catches like the Holmes' catch in the end zone from Ben. Any of these catches, like the helmet catch from Eli Manning. I mean, there are great symbolic catches that represent the Super Bowl and big times in the catch. I don't think falls in that category, but it was a big play. It was a big play in a big situation, and at that time, you probably thought, "Man, this is one of the biggest plays ever."
Yeah.
But, you know, over time, things kind of get diluted. That catch is certainly one of them.
I just never was, I don't know, their history, their lore just never attracted me. At least, you know, like the Cowboys, you know, at least of the, you know, even in the 70s, they had characters back then. In the 90s, you know, you had all those guys coked out of their mind. They were, you hated them, but they were entertaining. They had personality. Right.
That's because they were coked out.
Yeah, the 49ers.
Who doesn't like
were
to
just,
watch that?
You know, like, Joe Montana, and Jerry Rice, if they didn't play football, like, would you want to hang? They weren't like people like you want to party and hang out with. They just seemed real dry.
Yeah.
Whereas the Cowboys, I want to go hang out with these guys. I don't know what we're going to get into.
38 of the 64 ESPN analysts, writers, commentators, columnists, and pundits, 38 of the 64, Mike, say that Patrick Mahomes will win the MVP of this football game. That's 59.3% of the people asked.
That's a smart bet. Quarterback driven league, you know, the only quarterback who didn't win a Super Bowl MVP that deserved to was Big Ben. He was robbed, throwing that out there. But yeah, Mahomes smart bet, him or McCaffrey or Kelsey.
Next, tied with nine. Out of the 64, they chose Kelsey or McCaffrey. These two tied with 9 picks each at 14%. Travis Kelsey and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, next, those are my choices.
Next, that's 14%. The next person picked by all these experts to win the MVP, Brock Purdy. Three of the 64 chose Purdy at a whopping 4.6%.
I think Brock Purdy can go out there and put up like Phil Simms type numbers, you know, like 26 to 27 passing, 340 yards, 5 touchdowns, San Francisco wins, and they would still not give him the MVP. he would have like all these
if
deep
Ben
passes.
Didn't get it for throwing, as you
just
mentioned,
right?
If Ben didn't get it for tossing that ball out to San Antonio home, you know, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah, I can see it happening. They're like, give it to McCaffrey. McCaffrey would have like an off game.
I'm going to take this real quick because I see keywords and I'll tell you why. My first duty station was a ship in the Bay Area. I was there in 1989 during the earthquake, during the A's and Giants World Series. It was like being in a bowl of Jell-O. Jell-O is scary. I remember that. I was a better person than you were. Not by much, but I was into sports at that time. And I did, I that was one of the big parts of my early childhood, is remembering that earthquake, World Series, San Francisco, the Bash Brothers, Oakland A's, McGuire, Canseco, the whole, you know, and that was that made such a big impression on my, on me as a child with sports. I really dug that, along with Refrigerator Perry's touchdown run in the Super Bowl and that 46-10 win over the Patriots, Super Bowl 20. I mean, there's just certain things that, you know, that stick out to you. That particular World Series run was one of those things for me.
Never thought of, like, you know, like an earthquake, if, you know, affecting someone on the water, but, you know, the ground does shake everywhere and it rises up. That had to be freaky as all get out. Oh my God.
Next on the list, Fred Warner had two people pick him. That's going to be a tough one. You have to have an all-out, just monstrous Ray Lewis kind of game if you're an inside linebacker and you're able to pull an MVP of the Super Bowl. But two people did pick Fred Warner. That's at 3.1%. Next is Chris Jones, Deebo Samuel, and Isaiah Pacheco with one person chose each of these guys. And that is 1.5% chance of winning, according to these 64 ESPN analysts, writers, commentators, columnists, and pundits. So
they would, those guys would have to go off hardcore to get to be able to be in the running for MVP. They would have to do something special.
And you know what? I could. Pacheco is very active in a game. He's very involved. He's used a lot, and you know what? He's very productive. Yeah. And Deebo, you know what? Somebody like Chris Jones, I think, would be difficult for the position he plays. But the other two guys being playmakers and seeing some of the plays, especially, you know, like Deebo Samuel, the plays he can make in Pacheco, I think that they have, you know, there's a chance. But we all know that, you know, the league tends to point towards the quarterback and tends to choose the quarterback in a lot of situations, unless it was Ben in Super Bowl 43. But you know how that goes. So we will see, guys. There you go. That is from ESPN at 64. Different analysts. Chargers, Mike, they named Jesse Mitner and Greg Rowan their coordinators. Jim Harbaugh is building his team.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Jesse Mitner from Michigan, Greg Rowan. What do you think about his coordinators?
He's nice little staff he's building down there. You know, you got the quarterback in place. You got some skill position players, so just round out that staff, and it's gonna be interesting to see what he does down there. Who else he brings in?
I agree. I think it's gonna be very interesting. There you go. You got this coach. He's considered a top tier coach. He's already been here, done that. He's been to the Super Bowl. He lost, of course, to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this guy, there's potential with the quarterback. There's potential. What's the one thing that we talk about on the show? If you have those two, your head coach and your quarterback, Steelers, you got to think of Ben.
Say hi.
Hey. But, you know, the Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, again, with the Chiefs and Mahomes and Reed. So, you know, they could be building something out in L.A. I always want to say San Diego. I'm never going to never going to get past that.
San Diego Chargers.
But, you know, you got Harbaugh, you got Herbert. He's putting his coaching staff together. I mean, I've seen potential with this team. But as you went on many times last year, you went on and talked about how bad this head coach was.
Oh, in God, he
Chargers
is.
Chargers organization. And you know what? If that changes and you get this, you know, Harbaugh in there, watch out. And that's the Chiefs division. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm looking for big things out of San Diego this year. You know, like I said, they got talent there. Is that head coach, man, he was just a bumbling idiot. And
ever since they moved to LA, it sucked.
It's the curse of San Diego, man. They should have never have left. But yeah, Brandon Staley was an idiot. He should have never been hired as a head coach. And thankfully for the league, he's no longer going to ruin Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I really felt bad for Herbert. That guy has so much potential. You don't want him to be that guy that just lands in shitty situations his whole career. So hopefully things play out for him, but not good enough to get to beat us in key situations or things like that. But I wouldn't mind seeing the Chargers have an okay team.
Me too. You know, I don't want them to win the Super Bowl because what they did to us all the way back in the 90s. This is revenge. No longer.
People are still crying about that three more yards.
Me too.
We would have got blown out by San Francisco, but you know what? People still.
Yeah, we would have been destroyed. They saved us, man. Oh. They saved us the embarrassment.
That was the highest scoring Super Bowl ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because of the Chargers by any means.
No, it was all because of them.
Yeah.
All because of San Fran.
And we couldn't get 3 yards to beat San Diego, you know.
I'm not saying we would have been more competitive than San Diego, but I think it still would have been a bloodbath.
You know what? They had that woodchuck Stan Humphries, their quarterback.
Yeah.
We had that woodchuck Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows? All right, guys, what I want to do next, I got a little fun game here. Not a game, but something a little special, fun, extra thing to do for Super Bowl week. I think what we're going to do, guys, is I'm going to go and I'm going to pull up the list, and I don't want you to pull up the list as well. I need you to cooperate and play along and play fairly, and this will be a fun activity, I think. What we're going to do today, guys, I'm going to go through the Super Bowls, and you're going to tell me not who won them, but who lost. And we're going to go every other one, Mike, then Derpy, then Mike, then Derpy, then Mike, then Derpy, and go through all the Super Bowls. And you're going to tell me the loser of that particular Super Bowl. I could give you the winner. I'll give you the score. I could even give you the city that it's played in. But from you guys, I need to know who the loser is. And we'll see how we fare. Does that sound cool, Derpy?
Yeah, that works.
All right.
Derpy.
All right, guys. It's a beginning, or do we want to work backwards? Do we want to start with the ones that we know very well, like that are very
Let's
fresh
start
in our
Super
mind?
Bowl one.
Super Bowl one, baby.
Super Bowl one and work our way up.
Yep.
All right. Again, this is on trust. This is honesty. This is I just need you guys to play along.
Yep.
And we'll see how well we do.
Yeah.
This is the Super Bowl. I'll give you the winner. I'll give you the score. I'll even give you the city. But all I need you guys to do is tell me who you believe was the loser of that Super Bowl. You guys ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Mike, because you were the boldest, I'm going to let you go first.
That's fair.
Super Bowl one, here we go. Green Bay Packers beat this team 35-10 in Los Angeles. Mike, who was the loser in Super Bowl one?
That would be Kansas City Chiefs.
Interesting. Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And that is correct. Mike, you got to man the board because I had to switch my screen over to this to do this.
Okay.
So you man the board. I can't pay attention to it right now.
Yep.
Derpy, Super Bowl two, Green Bay Packers again beat this 3-14 in Miami in the Orange Bowl. Green Bay Packers beat in Super Bowl.
I'm going to go Chiefs.
The Chiefs. That is incorrect. It's the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders lost to the Packers 33-14. And again, this is tough, guys. So, you know, just play along, play fair. I don't care who gets it right, gets it wrong. I think this is these are the kind of things I like to do on my own time.
Yeah, to go back, see if you can remember.
Me,
all
right. I'm going to get them right.
All right, Mike. Super Bowl III, the New York Jets beat this team 16-7. Also, Orange Bowl. Jets beat 16-7.
The Colts.
Also, in the Miami Orange Bowl, the Colts is correct. Derpy, number four. The Kansas City Chiefs. So, whoever had a team back in the day, they're out of their mind because they were already in two of the first four Super Bowls that I've gone through. This team's, you know, they're a franchise, guys. Number four, Derpy. The Kansas City Chiefs beat this team 23-7 in New Orleans. Super Bowl four, Kansas City beat this team 23-7 in New Orleans.
Of course, I'm going to go the Vikings.
That's correct. They did it beat the Minnesota Vikings.
Nice one, Derpy.
Derpy's turning it on, guys.
He is. Dang.
Number five, Super Bowl number five. The Baltimore Colts beat this team 16-13 in the Miami Orange Bowl. Super Bowl V, the Colts beat this team 16-13. Mike.
Colts. I do not know. I'm drawing a blank.
Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
Their first appearance was Super Bowl V, and they lost.
Wow.
Super Bowl VI, Derpy. The Dallas Cowboys were back And they beat this team 24-3, also in New Orleans. Dallas Cowboys beat this team 24-3 in Super Bowl VI.
Would I be crazy enough to say the Vikings?
No, I mean, yeah, because they're both NFC teams. So I will give you another chance. Take another guess because they are both NFC teams, and I think
that's
you
right.
Know
that's right.
Honest mistake. I'm looking for an AFC team that the Cowboys beat 24-3.
Give me. Give me the Jets.
The Jets is incorrect. It's the Miami Dolphins. They beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
As you see, this is when the Cowboys started to make their name.
Yep.
Guys, back-to-back Cowboys Super Bowls. Mike, next one is Super Bowl VII. The Miami Dolphins 14-7 over this team in the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Miami Dolphins beat this team in Super Bowl VII, 14-7.
NFC. The Rams?
The Rams is incorrect. The Washington Redskins.
Oh,
this is
damn.
That was the
perfect season.
Perfect season, yes.
Yeah.
Next one, Derby. Again, Miami Dolphins coming over to you. The Miami Dolphins in Super Bowl VIII beat this team 24-7 in Houston, Texas. Miami Dolphins beat this NFC team 24-7 in Super Bowl VIII. Who do you think, Derby?
Derby.
Sending out the Derby signal.
Give me. The Cowboys?
That is incorrect. It was the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh,
earlier. As you can see right now, they're going to be picking up some momentum. Mike, let's go over to you. Super Bowl IX, the Steelers beat who 16-6 in New Orleans?
Minnesota Vikings.
You know, guys, I think these guys will start to get a little bit more here for a little while. But yes, that is the second of two Minnesota Vikings four losses. So you can see Miami starting to pick up a little Super Bowl era. All right, fellas, next is Derpy, Super Bowl number 10. We are in Super Bowl 10. The Steelers beat this team 21-17 in Miami's Orange Bowl. Derpy.
Derpy.
Wait, what was it again?
The Steelers beat this team 21-17 in the Miami Orange Bowl in Super Bowl 10.
Miami?
Yeah, in Miami.
In Miami.
Okay, so it's not.
I'm looking for the NFC team that the Steelers beat 21-17 in Super Bowl 10.
Derpy!
Do you have a guess?
I'm going to go Dallas.
It was Dallas, correct. Again, guys, your life isn't on the line here. No shame to take a shot and not get it. Super Bowl 11, Oakland Raiders beat this team 32-14 in the Rose Bowl. Pasadena, California. I'm looking for who the Raiders beat 32-14, Mike.
Raiders, let's go with the Redskins again.
The Redskins is incorrect, but the Minnesota Vikings would be correct again.
Damn. I know Minnesota lost four Super Bowls.
All right. Super Bowl 12. The Dallas Cowboys beat this team 27-10 in Louisiana. I'm looking for who the Cowboys beat in Super Bowl 12, guys. Derpy.
I'm going to go.
It's a tough one. I wouldn't get this. I'm not saying that you won't, but I wouldn't. If I had
Can
to
I
guess.
Get the year?
Yeah, 1978.
1978?
Cowboys 27-10 over who, Derpy?
I was thinking the Bengals, but I don't know.
The Bengals are incorrect. It was the Denver Broncos.
Broncos wrong right. On it.
Mike, Super Bowl 13, the Steelers beat this team 35-31 in the Miami Orange Bowl.
Dallas Cowboys.
Derpy, Super Bowl 14. The Steelers beat this team 31-19 in the Rose Bowl.
LA Rams.
Mike, in Super Bowl 15, the Oakland Raiders beat this team 27-10 in Louisiana.
Giants.
Incorrect. The Eagles. Derpy, Super Bowl 16, the San Francisco 49ers beat this team 26-21 in Michigan.
What year was that?
1982.
I think I'm going to go Broncos.
Bengals?
It is the Bengals.
Oh, my goodness.
Super Bowl 17. Mike, Washington beat this team 21-17 in the Rose Bowl.
Buffalo?
The Dolphins. Oh. Derpy.
Super Bowl. That was the Marino Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Derpy, Super Bowl 18. The Raiders, the Los Angeles Raiders, beat this team 38-9 in Tampa. This was 1984. I'm looking for the Raiders beat 38-9.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think what happened that game.
Exactly, Mike.
Derby's just trying to find it on Wikipedia.
Now, you know what? I trust
what
him.
What was that year? 83?
He's getting enough wrong to make me think that he's not. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's kind of
what was that year?
I was monitoring. I don't know. What year are we on, Mike?
I have no idea.
The 38-9. Raiders beat who in 1984?
Give me...
Need an answer.
Give me Dallas.
The Washington Redskins. Super Bowl 19, Mike. The San Francisco 49ers, I'm sorry, beat this team 38-16 at Stanford Stadium. I'm looking for who the 49ers beat in this game in 1985.
Wasn't that the Bengals again?
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Yes. Derpy, Super Bowl 20. Chicago Bears beat this team 46-10. If you were paying attention earlier in the show, you would know the answer to this. This was 1986. I'm looking for who the Bears beat 46-10.
Isn't like that's the greatest team ever?
That's what people from Chicago say.
Yep.
Do you remember who they beat? The answer is the New England Patriots. Mike, Super Bowl 21.
Destroyed.
Super Bowl 21, Mike, the New York Giants beat this team 39-20. 1987 at the Rose Bowl. I'm looking for the Giants beat 39-20.
Bills?
Broncos.
God dang it.
We're getting close to the
we're
Bills.
We're getting
there.
Closer That's to the Bills. I keep forgetting that this was the Elway years, the Marino
years.
Yeah,
that years, was the
Elway years. And now we're starting to get into Jim Kelly coming into his own.
Super Bowl 22, the Washington Redskins beat this team 42-10 at San Diego in 1988. I'm looking for who the Washington Redskins beat 42-10.
Eventually can find the Bills.
Yeah, we'll be on a roll once we get to that. The Denver Broncos, guys. Aww. Super Bowl 23. Mike, San Francisco beat this team 20-16 at Jill Robbie Stadium, Miami in 1989. 20-16. Mike, who lost to the 49ers?
The Buffalo Bills.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
This time frame, it's the flipping Bills.
Derpy.
I keep forgetting the Bengals were actually competent back in the day, too.
This is the largest margin of a win in a Super Bowl. Derpy, 1990. San Francisco beat this team 55-10 in Louisiana Super Bowl. Derpy, Super Bowl 24. Who did San Francisco 49ers beat 55-10?
I'm just going to go with Mike. The Bills.
The Broncos.
I don't care.
It's either between the Broncos, Bills, or Bengals now. And you guys
You're the Broncos.
Messing it up. All right,
here we
go.
Messing up the pattern, man. Pattern recognition is not a strong...
All right, Mike, 25, Super Bowl 25. The New York Giants beat this team 20-19 at
Buffalo
Tampa Stadium.
Bills.
Wide right. Perfect. Derby, I knew Super we would Bowl get 26.
There. That was 4 years
Washington
ahead.
Redskins beat this team 37-24. Derby.
The only team with 4 Super Bowl losses, the Buffalo
right.
Bills.
Yeah. See,
Mike, the Dallas Cowboys, they beat this team 52-17 in the Rose Bowl 93. Which team was this?
Buffalo Bills, baby.
Derpy, the Dallas Cowboys beat this team 30-13 in the Georgia Dome in 94 in Super Bowl 28. Who was this team?
The Buffalo Bills, which made right, a guys. Documentary about it.
I was waiting, right. I was waiting for Derpy to stutter and forget I we know. Were on the 4-4.
Say the Broncos. Bengals. Guys, all right, here we are. Derpy, we're into the time where you're almost born, so there's no more excuses.
No
guys.
More excuses, Derpy.
Here
no
we
more
go.
Excuses, yep.
In 1995, in Super Bowl 29, the San Francisco 49ers beat this team 49-26.
San Diego Chargers.
In Super Bowl 30, this team lost to the Cowboys 27-17 in Tempe, Arizona. Derpy.
What year was that?
1996.
The Dallas Pittsburgh Steelers.
Super Bowl 31, Mike, the Green Bay Packers beat this team 35-21.
Oh my God, Patriots.
Derpy, no. Super, yes.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 32, Derpy, the Denver Broncos beat this team 31-24.
Green Bay Packers.
Correct. Mike, Super Bowl 33, the Denver Broncos beat this team 34-19.
Falcons.
Derpy, Super Bowl 34. The Rams beat this team 23-16 in the Georgia Dome.
Tennessee Titans.
Yep. Mike, Super Bowl 35. The Ravens beat this team 34-7 in Tampa Bay.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Getting ready for the first trip up.
Yeah, I can't remember who they played.
Kerry Collins led New York Giants.
Giants, yeah.
Giants.
Super Bowl 36, guys, the New England Patriots beat this team 20-17.
I know it was on a field goal. I don't recall the team.
The St. Louis Rams.
Yep.
Super Bowl 37. The Buccaneers beat this team 48-21, Mike.
Raiders.
Derpy, Super Bowl 38. The Patriots beat this team 32-29.
What year was it?
2004. Was the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers, yeah.
Super Bowl 39, Mike. The Patriots beat this team 24-21. 2005, Jacksonville, Florida.
I remember.
Derpy, who was it?
Eagles.
It was the Eagles. Let's see, Super Bowl 40, the Steelers beat this team 21-10.
Derpy. Oh, it's Derpy.
Seahawks.
Mike, Super Bowl 41, the Colts beat this team 29-17.
Bears.
Derpy, 42. The Giants beat this team 17-14.
New England Patriots.
Mike, Super Bowl 43. The Steelers beat this team 27-23.
Cardinals.
Derpy, 44. The Saints beat this team 31-17. Super Bowl 44. Who was it?
The Colts.
Correct. Super Bowl 45. Mike, the Packers beat this team 31-25 in Arlington, Texas.
I don't want to talk about it.
Correct.
I don't want to talk about that. Good answer.
46, good answer. The Giants, they beat this team 21-17. Derpy?
Derpy.
Not only once, but twice.
All right, 10 years
Eli
ago.
Manning.
10 years ago in Super Bowl 47, guys, the Baltimore Ravens defeated this team 34-31.
San Francisco.
Super Bowl 48. Seattle beat this team 43-8.
Oh.
Denver Broncos.
Correct. Super Bowl 49, the Patriots beat this team 28-24.
Atlanta.
Incorrect. Seattle.
No, it's the Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. That was right there. It was their go for two. Yeah. I'm a few years ahead. Yeah.
Super
Don't
Bowl
play
50.
Calling. Don't Denver, play calling.
Denver Both. Broncos beat this team 24
Carolina
to 10.
Carolina Panthers.
Mike, Super Bowl 51. The Patriots beat this team 34 to 28.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, the first overtime game.
I
think Ron and I got the Falcons too early. Both times.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 52. The Eagles beat this team 41 to 33.
The New England Patriots.
Philly, the Philly special.
Super Bowl 53. The Patriots beat this team 13 to 3.
God.
The worst Super Bowl ever.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
The Rams.
One.
That is the Jared Goff led Rams. 3 points.
Yeah, that's McVay was supposed to be that genius.
That was the worst Super Bowl I ever watched.
Super Bowl 54. Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs 31-20 over this team.
San Francisco?
Correct. Down to the last few guys. Super Bowl 55, Tampa Bay 31-9 over this team.
KC.
Super Bowl 56, the Rams over the Bengals. I'm sorry, I screwed that up. I said the team's name. So let's just carry it over to
that's
you.
That's okay. We
Mike, the Bengals. It is your pick, correct?
No, it's Derp's.
Derpy's pick? All right, Derpy, my bad. In Super Bowl 57, the Kansas City Chiefs beat this team 38-35.
The Eagles.
Oh yeah, I'm
there. You go.
Yeah.
I tell you what, even in the earlier ones, these guys didn't do bad. I mean, Yins were in the ballpark. You know what I mean? A lot of times during that era when it was Bengals, Bills, Broncos.
That was
it seemed like that kind of confusions guys. But
that did too, because I remember now how good those teams were, and I always want to put someone reason because Jim Kelly, what he was in that draft class or close to that draft class. I want to move the Bills further back. They're the 90s.
All of the Bills would make 80s. A documentary about their four Super Bowl
documentary
losses.
You mean documentary?
Yep. You get my point. Only the Bills, though, they would make
only
one
the Bills
out of that.
Hey, you know what, if I had a string of failure like that, I'd monetize that shit.
Just going back real quick to the board, Natron means business. Remember that guy?
Yep.
Natron means business.
He was a beast, man.
Guys, a couple of things here and some other sports to round things out. The Pitt Panthers back in action tonight on the hardwood. They're in NC State playing NC State, which is PP, who's usually on the board. That's his squad. If he was here, I could talk a little shit. Also, the Bucks, 50 days to opening day. 50 days, Mike, I know you're just chomping at the bit. The Pirates will be back in action.
World Series tickets.
50 days. They already got all the equipment and stuff is showing up down there. Things are getting ready to go. Derpy's saving up for his World Series tickets. Pittsburgh Penguins play last night back in action for the first time since the All-Star break. They win 3-0 over the Jets. The Jets fall to 30-13-5, a pretty good record. The Penguins, though, they did shut them out. Penguins are now 23-17-7. This was the league-leading sixth shutout for Tristan Jarry this year. He had 23 saves on 23 shots. Nobody has more shutouts than Jarry does this year. The three stars of the game, Jeff Carter, Brian Rust, and Tristan Jarry, while six Carter, shutouts. Rust, and Letang all scored a goal. Crosby had an assist, and one more time, Jarry, the league-leading sixth shutout.
I think the real story of this game is two power play goals.
Yes, two power play
exactly,
goals.
Exactly, Mike.
In the next game is tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Friday night at 8 o'clock. They are at Minnesota to play the Wild. Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about the website, man?
The2dumbyinsurance.com. Over there, you know, we got the over social link, got the blog, and like I've been saying, closer we get to the combine and the draft, that's when I'm gonna get real into it. And there'll be like mock drafts a couple of times a week based on what's happening. And gems that I find of like players to look out for, a little blog post about them. That will all be at the2dumbyinsurance.com.
All right, go check it out, everybody. www.the2dumbyinsurance.com. That's www.the2dumbyinsurance.com. Mike, anything before we wrap up the show today, man?
Oh, God, no. I can't wait for the Super Bowl to be here.
I know.
But I don't want...
I'm getting Super Bowl fever.
I am too, but I don't want football to stop. No. I want football in my veins.
You know what? UFL, I hear, is going all the way to June. So, I mean, there's not going to be a month that we don't have football this year, which I think
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Are you ready for Bucko fever?
Therapy's ready for baseball.
No, if I ever get Bucko fever, you all have permission to like push me.
When we were 20 and 8, come on, you can't tell me you weren't getting a little sniffle. I heard a sniffle when we were 20.
Yeah,
and 8, a little.
Yeah, but I knew we were gonna come crashing down like we always do.
Yeah. My thing is this: Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says yesterday it's time to legalize recreational marijuana. He says, "quote Send to my desk a bill that legislates legalized marijuana." That was the governor to the PA lawmakers. Interesting. Just putting that out there, everybody, because I know everybody knows. There's always one in the group. So, and there you go. Shapiro says, put the bill on my desk in the state of Pennsylvania. We'll be caught up with the rest of everybody.
Yeah,
I think it's the dollar Ohio, signs. Babe. I think it's the dollar signs. They see the money that these other states are making, and he's ready to go. So that is as of yesterday. Derpy, anything before we get ready to go, man?
Just remember.
Uh-oh.
Baseball was invented first.
All right, Mike, anything else? Forever, speak now, forever.
I got
peace.
Nothing. I right. got nothing.
All right, everybody. We do want to thank everybody for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Ron, the show is too short. You.
And we want to thank everybody on the board. You guys always keep things interesting. For Mike here at the Steelers Central Remote Studio, Derpy, myself, we'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Yep. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.
See ya.
No.